You know, I don't know if you've ever felt that rawness, you know, that rawness where you're just like at the point of saying, you know, God, I need you. I mean, I just need you to hold on to me right here. You know, oftentimes, those are the moments we reach out to God. Those are the moments we say, God, I have nowhere else to go, and I just need you right now. And let me just tell you, if those are the only times that you reach out to God, only times is when you're in despair, when you're in trouble, I just want you to know God's okay with that. He's okay with that. He's okay. Anytime you reach out, whatever the circumstances, he's okay with that. And so you shouldn't feel bad about, you know, the times where maybe you say, well, those are the only times. And so this weekend, we're going to dig into how do we experience more of those times? How do we increase some of the connection and the powerful interactions that we have in a moment-by-moment basis with our Heavenly Father? And so we're going to dive into this weekend. My name's Kurt. If we haven't had a chance to meet, if you're here for the first time, man, so glad to have you with us this weekend. And to those of you tuning in online, it's so good to have you join us from wherever you may be tuned in from. And I just want to say, those of you online in the room, man, way to go on being here this weekend. I just want to give you a quick shout out because, you know, this shows that you want to grow. This is a 49-day challenge. We have to do something. We have to show up. We have to be engaged if we want to get the growth. And this is showing God. God's going, oh my gosh, these are people who want to go somewhere new. In fact, let me pray toward that end before we do anything else. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this moment. I thank you, God, that you can take us to new places and that we can be a part of the process. And I just pray that we would see you in new ways this weekend. I pray that even in these next few moments, we would experience your character in new ways and that you would help us to take off some of the religiosity off what it means to connect with you, to communicate with you, to pray. And God, just help us to see that that this is something we can all do. And so I just pray that our core strength would be built and it would be built up as a result of our time here and by you doing what only you can do in our lives in this time. We pray these things according to your character, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, why is it that when difficult situations arise, those are the moments when we reach out to God, right? I mean, we get into difficult moments, and even people who don't normally reach out to God, reach out to God. I have friends who are atheists or even agnostics. I don't know if they would identify themselves that way. They're functional atheists, functional agnostics, but generally just not interested in God. But it's just interesting that when the difficult moments come, oftentimes, you know, they'll say, you know, Kurt, man, would you pray for me? Or, you know, I really want to experience God in this moment. Why is that? You know, there are plenty of imaginary kind of forces that I used to believe in or you used to believe in or perhaps maybe we don't at least put the weight of our life into. And, you know, why is it, for instance, that when I need something good to happen to me, I don't say, hey, Santa, could you please come through for me? Or I don't chip a tooth, down some NyQuil, you know, hit the sack and say, man, I hope the tooth fairy shows up and does something good. Why is it we don't do that? I think it's because we're wired. God has hardwired us to turn to him, to seek him, especially in times of need. So as we head into week number 2 of the 49-day challenge, we are not philosophizing about things. We're actually doing things. There's a time for philosophizing. There's a time for intellectual, you know, conversation about, you know, does God exist? Where is his presence? How do I experience that? Right now, we're actually doing things. We're training ourselves. This is why it's called the 49-day challenge. In fact, G.K. Chesterton once said, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. It's been left untried. And so we're actually trying some ancient disciplines. Over these next 6 weeks, we're going to be doing disciplines that historically have created core strength in those of us that want to experience more of God. And so when we do these things, when we build these things into our life, we turbocharge certain things in our life. So this weekend, we're going to kind of put our energies around turbocharging and kind of championing things around the realm of communicating with God, both talking to God and also hearing God. And, you know, there's a lot of religiosity around prayer and, you know, hearing, talking to God. In fact, I think sometimes we want to talk to God and we say, hey, God, here's what I need. I don't know that we're as interested in hearing from God. I don't know that we always know exactly what to do if God actually shows up and comes through. You know, maybe perhaps like this video right here shows us.
Father, please hear our prayer for the poor.
Thank you, Father, yes.
We beseech you for the disenfranchised, the less fortunate, and those that suffer. Show us your will so we can continue to do your work.
Yes, Father, thank you.
I've come to answer your prayers. Listen carefully to my instructions.
Hallelujah.
I want you to sell everything you own and immediately begin service to the poor.
I just want to clarify, to everything?
Yes. Rid yourself of all earthly possessions. See what they did there.
I don't know that we fully want God to show up, right? I mean, so we pray, we say, oh, God, help the poor. We don't want to be a part of the solution. I want us to see that there's a strength that comes to our lives when we try new things, when we actually not only talk to God, but we actually listen. We try to hear from God. We can actually go to new places. That's what we're going to do this week. That's what we're going to do through our challenges this week. So, you know, there's a lot of scientific benefits when it comes to prayer. In fact, studies pop up all over the place in terms of the benefits of meditation and yoga and even things like prayer. In fact, here's one from Time Magazine, which research showed that prayer has been shown to be powerful. It triggers the relaxation response, a state of mind-body rest that has been shown to decrease stress, heart rate, and blood pressure, alleviate chronic disease symptoms, and even change gene expression. This state is typically linked to activities like meditation and yoga, and research suggests it can also be found through praying. In Psychology Today, another study said even physicians believe in miracles. A national poll of 1,100 physicians from different religious faiths asked whether they believed in miracles. 74% believed miracles occurred in the past, and 73% held the belief that miracles still occur today. This is fascinating. I don't know if it's these medical doctors, these physicians, like if something, maybe a diagnosis changes and they haven't done anything and that's why they say this, or perhaps maybe this is just reflective of a modeling with these physicians that they just do believe there's a transcendent presence that actually has power beyond the things we can do physically. Either way, it's fascinating. These numbers have actually gone up 4 or 5% over the last 10 years. That's fascinating to me. A couple years ago, when my wife Julie was on her radiation treatment journey, we met with her radiation oncologist, and she said to us, she said, wow, you guys seem to be navigating this cancer journey pretty well. And we said, really? We don't feel that way all the time, but what makes you say that? She said, well, you just seem like you're doing pretty well. What are you doing to get through this? We said, well, I mean, we've got good support around us and our faith. And she said, oh, you have a faith. And so we explained, yeah, I mean, we do, you know, have a faith, and we believe God is present in this journey. And she said, oh, well, you're going to be just fine. He said, really? Why do you say that? And she said, well, I wish I had a faith. I wish I could have a faith. But I can tell you that people who have faith, when they go through journeys like this, they just always do significantly better. I thought, wow, that's interesting. It's interesting that she actually sees that, and yet she's like, I can't quite get there to believe it myself. You know, personally, I've never prayed and had something physically miraculous happen in my life. Never happened. Never happened for me personally. I do believe it happens. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I was talking to a young lady here at Cross Point who had been in the hospital for a few days with a pretty severe illness, and then all of a sudden, bam, it was just gone. And she checked out. She was here volunteering like a few days later. And she said the doctors, they couldn't explain it. There's no explanation to it. I've got a friend who, you know, I remember sitting in their living room a number of years ago, and they had a three-month, like, runway. Basically, we're given 3 months to live, and, you know, we prayed, and we're crying, and all of a sudden, here we are 5, 6, 7 years later, and they're still going strong. And so, I mean, I really do believe that there is a miraculous that happens. There's enough of that that happens that I believe prayer impacts those things. It's just that I've never physically felt that, yet I believe it. Now, I know that we all come from different places, spiritual orientations, backgrounds, belief systems in terms of what prayer is and our understandings of the role of prayer. And you don't have to believe all these things. This week, we're going to do some things through our challenge cards that are going to hopefully help us experience God and maybe just practice some things that help us see God and hear from God in new ways. And so today, I want to kind of despiritualize, if you will, the value of prayer. I want to kind of get all the gymnastics out of the way. You know, you have to be in this posture and you have to do all these things first. There's none of that. Prayer is simply communicating with God. It's simply talking to God. We just need to talk to God. In fact, the Apostle Paul mentions this in 1 Thessalonians. He says, rejoice always. He says, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For you. What is God's will for you? It's not that you're able to climb the corporate ladder. You know, if that happens, awesome. It's a great, great thing, man. Be thankful for that. It's not that you can retire at the age of 48. If you get the chance to do that, awesome. That's phenomenal. That is not God's will for you. I mean, you can thank him if he probably had a role in that, but that's not his will. What is his will for you? God's will for you is that you are able to be in sync with his heart, to be able to be in sync with his heart, to live in constant awareness of what he's doing, constant rejoicing of, oh my God, look at what you just did, constant sense of thanking him, a constant sense of interacting and talking with him throughout the day, as Paul said, to be praying without ceasing. Now, this does not mean that we're in like a 24-hour prayer vigil. It doesn't mean we walk around, you know, dun, 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 you know, like in our eyes closed, always looking like we're in prayer. All right, it's not that at all. It's that we're in this moment-by-moment interaction, moments of our life where we are dialoguing with God. So, three big ideas today on prayer. Three big ideas. Number one, prayer starts with conversation. Prayer starts with conversation. You just talk to God. All right, you just talk to God. One of the great kind of strong individuals of the Old Testament is a guy by the name of Samuel. Samuel goes to live with kind of the Yoda of the Israelites, kind of the spiritual guru, kind of the wise old, you know, sage. It's a guy by the name of Eli. And so here's where the story kind of picks up in 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was, and what's the word right there? Rare. It says the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So if you're somebody who says, listen, I've never audibly heard the voice of God. I know some people say they do. I've never audibly heard God speak out loud to me. I just don't hear that. You know what I would say you are? You are normal. That's what you are. Because it says right here, it says very, very rare. Even back then, it was very, very rare to actually hear a word from the Lord. Now, I'm going to be honest. I get a little weirded out when people come to me and they say, you know, Kurt, I heard a word from the Lord again today. I heard a word. God spoke to me, God. I get a little weirded out by that. And you know, sometimes I get more weirded out when they come and say, well, God spoke to me, Kurt, and here's what he wants to tell you. Like, that really weirds me out because I'm like, it's funny because I think God would talk to me if he wanted to tell me something. That's usually the way communication goes. But there are certain people, on the other hand, that when they hear from the Lord, I have certain mentors and advisors and confidants, like Ann Smith. If you have ever been here at Crosspoint when Ann Smith has been on this stage, I mean, she's in her 90s. She's like Tuesdays with Maury. I could listen to her all day, every day. And when Ann Smith says, hey, Kurt, I've got a word from the Lord for you, she's like E.F. Hutton. People listen, right? When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. When Ann Smith speaks, man, you listen because she has cultivated a relationship with our Heavenly Father over years. And I just think she hears from God in a unique way. But, you know, oftentimes when somebody says, oh, God spoke to me, or God, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, perhaps. I mean, if that happens for you, awesome. I know it does happen for some. He says, I know I've never audibly heard God speak out loud to me. Never have. Never had a lightning bolt come down and a beautiful picture of exactly what I was supposed to do next. Or, you know, it's unusual to hear that unmistakable, audible voice. And it was this way back then as well because, you know, it says the word of the Lord was rare. The audible voice is rare. Now, this does not mean that God does not communicate with us. All right, God actually does communicate. We can actually discern the voice of God. That is not rare. You know, and I'll often say God's voice for me historically has been a lot more intelligible than audible. It's been something I've been able to interpret in my spirit, nudges, leadings, you know, just kind of promptings that I have. And so we can discern his voice. And this happens the more and more we interact with him, or as the Apostle Paul says, the more we pray without ceasing. This is an ongoing kind of normal part of our day. So what does this look like? Well, I can, when I'm riding around town, when I'm driving around town, I can pray. When you're cruising around town, whether you're riding, whether you're driving in your car, I mean, you can cruise. Now, I would recommend if you're going to pray while you're driving, don't close your eyes. That would be good for everybody. Don't close your eyes. Because if you do that, I think bad things are going to happen. And so, you know, but you can... Yeah. I've always wanted to do that at Crosspoint. You know, when you're driving around town, here's how I pray. Somebody cuts me off in traffic. And, you know, my first thought is, oh, why'd they do that? You know, it's almost like I get a complex. You know, it's like there's a conspiracy out to screw over Kurt Walters today. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, somebody cuts me off. I'm like, you know, it's just how my day has been going. And I'll step back. Okay, God. I know that's not true. Just give me grace right now. Help me. No road rage is needed right here. Just give me some grace. All right. Who knows what's going on in their life? Obviously, there's something way more important than my life going on in their mind or life, or maybe they've got something really important to be at. And I just pray, God, just give me a good spirit. Help that not to impact the rest of my day. Perhaps I'm driving around, riding, and I see a bumper sticker that's got all those symbols on it. You know, coexist. And I'll say something like, you know, God, man, I wish we could coexist better. There is not a lot of coexisting happening in our world today. I mean, I know we got people from all, you know, religions and cultures and belief systems, and God, help us to honor and respect each other better. I mean, as we drive around, I mean, just help us, you know, to be able to just coexist together. And you know, we don't want to be sloppy in our thinking, but help us also to discern that not every expression of who we think you are is exactly who you are. Show us what your real character is. Help us to see the real God, the real character. I mean, so when I'm doing ordinary, you know, just traveling around town, I mean, those are moments. I don't have to be on my knees somewhere. I can be interacting with God. I can be having normal conversations just like I do when I'm sitting at home, watching TV in my favorite Chase lounger. And, you know, I pop open the TV right here. Batteries must be out. Here we go. Let's try this again. Here we go. You know, and the Britney Spears comes on. You know, Britney Spears, a conservator, ongoing saga. And, you know, it's easy to see this and go, oh my gosh, you know, probably serves her right. I mean, she made fame early, made all those, you know, millions of dollars, and now it's all catching up, kind of all the outages in her life. And then I'm like, you know, I don't want to be wishing that for her. In fact, I mean, oftentimes I'll see something like this and I'll say something like, you know, God, thank you that in some of my darkest moments in my life, I didn't have a national audience watching every move of my life and reporting it. Man, that would not have looked good. I'm so thankful for that. I mean, I don't know what's going on in her heart, God, but I know she's one of your kids and, you know, you have a dream for her. And I just pray that maybe she would begin to discern, you know, that you have certain dreams for her heart. Change another channel. Oh, yeah, the national debt ceiling. I mean, this has got our country all worked up, right? And you probably have a lot of opinions on this. I certainly have opinions on this. But, you know, let me tell you something. It's interesting because here's yet another thing to create a divide in our country. Yet another thing. And I know it's to some degree about those that have and those that don't have and what's our responsibility. Here's the thing. I mean, I don't know how it's all going to work out. But when I see this, I'll often step back and I'll just say, you know, God, I don't know what's going to happen here. God, help us not to demonize people that don't necessarily see this the way we do. I mean, we demonize so frequently if somebody doesn't align with us. God, help us to maybe become a little more united, understand we're in this together. I mean, these are normal ways that you can talk to God. I mean, it's not like I just have a reaction to what's going on. It's not like I'm getting on my knees. I'm just responding. I don't even have to say it out loud. I can just think these things and have a mental connection with what God may be saying in this moment. It's a simple conversation. I mean, you don't have to have a seminary degree to do that. In fact, Jesus, he put it really well one time. He put it this way. He said, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very, very simply. Very, very simple. That's what we're going to do this week. We're going to get into our challenge cards. We're going to pray very simply. There's going to be a number of cards that are going to help you experience prayer, communicate with God in different ways. You might be lighting a candle one day. You might be praying in the shower, believe it or not. That'll be interesting. You may even be finding yourself walking around, praying, walking around. And we're going to mix it up so we can communicate and have some new ways to not only talk but to hear from God. Because see, prayer is not just conversation. It starts with talking, but it also has to do with our perception. The second thing is about perceiving the distinct voice of God. Now, any good communication is 50% talking and 50% listening, right? Not 50% talking and then waiting so I can talk again. I mean, that's what we usually do, right? I'm like, oh, as soon as I can jump in, I'm thinking of my next thought. No, it's 50% talking and then, okay, I'm going to pause. I'm actually going to focus on what you're saying. I'm going to listen to you. Very few people actually get this. Very few people actually learn the rhythm of learning to talk and then pause and go, okay, God, I just want to hear from you. I don't fully understand why there are certain things that God is going to do regardless of whether I pray for it or not. He's just going to do them. I don't know if he's decided ahead of time or it's just a part of his character. And then there's also certain things that regardless of how much I pray for something, God is never going to do it. And perhaps that's because there's certain things I pray for that just aren't in his character. It can't come out of the character of who he is. But then see, here's the thing that's more confusing. There are some things that God will only do when you pray. And that's hard to understand. That's actually hard to wrap your mind around, but I've seen this over and over throughout my life. In fact, Billy Graham, he put it this way, he said, "Heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask." Meaning there's some things that when we talk to God about, it's going to break something. It's actually going to move something. And perhaps what moves is our attitude, or perhaps what moves is our perception as a result of hearing from God and actually beginning to see perhaps something different. You know, back to Samuel in the Old Testament, Samuel knows that hearing audibly from God is rare. He knows that it's rare to hear from God in a loud, distinguishable voice. But Samuel's conversing, and he begins to perceive that God is saying something to him, and it happens while he's sleeping. Take a look at this next verse here. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Whoa, okay, let's pause on this for a second. This is fascinating. So understand right here, Samuel hears from God, but he doesn't have a relationship with God yet. This is fascinating because what this says is that even if you're new to exploring God, if you don't even have a faith or you haven't bought in yet, that you actually can hear from God. That if you are open to hearing from God, if you open yourself up, it says that you'll hear from God. He says Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. But then he goes on, "A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli, his mentor, and he said, 'Here I am. You called me? What do you need? I'm here.'" For the third time, this happened three times in a row. And all of a sudden in this moment, Eli begins to realize, oh my gosh, he thinks that he's hearing my voice. I think this is actually God's voice, it's not mine. I'm not saying anything. And so verse 9, it says, "Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place." So Eli said, I think what you're hearing is from God. It's not going to be some loud, distinguishable, oh, I definitely know that's God. It's going to be a still, quiet voice, as Danny Gokey says. It's going to be a still, small voice. But I think you're hearing. I think you're perceiving. And so do this. The next time you hear that voice, just say, okay, God, speak. Your servant is listening. That's what he does. Take a look at the next verse. "The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, Speak, Lord, for your servant I'm listening." It's interesting he says servant. See, you know what that says? That means he wants to come under God. It means he's looking for a relationship with God. I'm here. I'm available. I was in a conference this past Monday with a speaker, Ruth Haley Barton, and she's written a number of books on the inner life. She said this. She said, God wants to hear from your soul. God wants your soul to hear from him. Think about that for a moment. Does God know that you're available? Does he know that you want to hear from him? You might just right now, if you want to hear from him, you might say, God, you know, I open myself up right now. I want to hear from you. I want you to communicate with me. And as we begin to find moments of quietness, our mind begins to wander. And perhaps your mind begins to drift to a place that he wants it to go. When you say, God, I want to hear from you, perhaps things start to populate your mind, and that's God taking you someplace. And perhaps, you know, it could be also because you had pizza and beer last night and it didn't set well, and you've got indigestion, and you're having, you know, different thoughts and so on. But if you say, okay, my mind is drifting, my mind is beginning to connect and go to places, and things are populating in my mind, how do I know if this is God? How do I know if God is directing my thoughts, or if something else, or I'm directing my thoughts? And so here's a good way to kind of filter that. If you think of the thing God is kind of putting in your mind, or you're drifting to, and you go, you know what, God would approve of that, that'll be something that comes out of his character, then perhaps you're hearing the voice of God. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a very still, small voice. It's not going to be like a bam, big lightning bolt. It's going to be very quiet. It's going to be more intelligible, oftentimes inaudible. On the other hand, there's times where I say, God, I need to hear from you right here. It's like God says, okay, make your case. I want to hear your opinion on this. And I share. And then I'm like, all right, God, what do you want? I listen. And I just don't get anything, which is okay. I mean, because that's a relationship. Sometimes that's how a relationship goes. And so in that moment, I just say, okay, God, I'm going to keep doing what you have been pointing me toward. The last thing that I heard from you, and you said, all right, do this. This is in your character. I'm going to keep going until you nudge me a different direction. 1 Thessalonians 5, we looked at this a few moments ago. Paul says, pay attention. He says, rejoice always. Include God in what you're doing. Pray without ceasing. Not like being a constant prayer posture, but just in those everyday moments. You know, talk to God about what you're seeing. In all circumstances, give thanks. And then he goes on and says something really fascinating. Look at what this next verse says. He says, but do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. What does this mean? Well, when the Spirit is speaking, or when I get an idea from God, or my mind begins to wander, and I say, okay, is this in the character of God? If I discern that it is, okay, I think this is something God wants me to do, but I don't follow him on it, then what I'm doing is I'm quenching the Spirit. I'm pushing down the Spirit. I'm ignoring the Spirit. A number of years ago, I had a young lady come to me, and she said, man, you know, Kurt, I've got something in my life that I know God does not approve of. I know he doesn't want it. I want it, and I don't want to give it up. And I used to feel really bad about it, but basically she's like, but I just want to tell you that I don't feel that bad about it anymore. I think God's become pretty okay with it. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I mean, I think what's happening right there is you've actually been squelching the Spirit. God's been nudging you. He's been saying, hey, this isn't my best. This isn't my dream for you. And you've just kept ignoring. Because see, when we ignore, when God nudges us and we say, okay, that's in his character. Really, when we ignore or push down the Spirit, what we're doing is saying, hey, God, I'm doing it my way. I don't care what you think. I'm doing it my way. And we squelch the Spirit. So when I'm praying, when I'm conversing with God, I'm starting a conversation and I'm talking to them, saying, okay, God, now I want to hear from you. And I'm perceiving, okay, is this in alignment with your character? Is this something that you would approve of? When he speaks to me and I say, okay, I think I should do that. If I don't follow through, then it's actually squelching the Spirit. Which means, number three, at least the third thing, there's an action involved. Third part of prayer is prayer concludes with action. Prayer leads to me doing something different. It leads to me saying something different. It leads to me perhaps subtracting or deleting something from my life, or perhaps adding something to my life. This past Monday, I was on my morning run, first thing in the morning, and I passed this older couple every single day. And he's in a walker, you know, she's walking like their three dogs, corralling them, and I, you know, say good morning, and we exchange pleasantries and go on. And this past Monday, she was by herself for the second day in a row. And I'd gotten about 20 yards or so past her before it just hit me. I thought, man, I wonder where her husband is. I hope her husband or her partner is okay. I thought, I should probably go back and, you know, just be like, hey, is everything okay? And I had to discern in that moment, is that something God would approve of? Is that something caring for other people, making sure people are doing okay? I think God would approve of that. And so, but then I'm like, oh, I got to be at a conference in a little bit. I don't really have time, so I just kept running. And I feel like I swelled the spirit right there. I'm going to be honest. I felt like I missed a moment. I felt like, I don't know what would have happened. Perhaps everything's fine and he just wasn't up yet when, you know, they were doing the challenge with us and, you know, he's sleeping in that day. I don't know. I mean, perhaps there's a reason, but I thought, you know, I feel like I squelched a lead. I felt like God led me to something and I didn't take it. And God continues to bring these. At a moment similar, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, our staff team was meeting at a Starbucks, and I'd put an order in, and of course, their staff was way understaffed, and they were way behind. I was 15 minutes into my order being ready, still wasn't ready. So I'm inside now, standing, waiting, and, you know, there's still like 8 or 9 people in front of me, and I'm getting frustrated, and, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm grumbling a little bit, and I see this young lady walk in that runs on the cross-country team with my 2 high school kids. And I know her. I went on some field trips. I was a part of some things when they were younger, all together in like elementary school. And she just looked heavy. Like she looked like her weight, like she was down. Like she had a heavy spirit to her. And so I saw her go sit down. And I'm standing there, like, man, I wish these people could hurry up. And I just felt like God was like, you know, Kurt, you can sit here and grumble, or you could be productive while you're waiting. Because, you know, how about going over and encouraging that young lady? I thought, well, that could be a little awkward. She didn't know me. Probably didn't remember me. Well, maybe this is God nudging me. Is that in his character? Is it in his character to be an encouragement, to put courage into people? Like, yeah, so that's that God would approve. So I walk over to her table and I said, hey, I know don't probably remember me. I was on a field trip. I have kids your age. And I just want you to know, we see you run. My kids run on the team with you. And she's like, oh yeah, I know your kids. And I'm like, every time we see you, you're smiling. I know you're working so hard, but man, you got a smile on your face. I just want you to know, man, that's encouragement to us. I just want to tell you, like, well, way to go. Man, you work so hard. We see that. I just want you to know we see it. And she's like, oh, thanks. You know, and it's a little awkward at the end. And I don't know what I expected because, man, I'm a grown adult talking to a, you know, high school senior, right? But I felt like that was something God prompted me to do. A few weeks earlier, we had one of our partners here at Crosspoint, one of our volunteers that my wife works alongside. Her husband was in the hospital and not doing well, just, you know, medically, like not progressing in the right direction. And we'd been praying for them, and, you know, Julie just said to me, you know, she texted me as I was texting her, we almost crossed. I said, I feel like we need to do more. Praying is not enough. We need to do something to support them. And she said, I was thinking the same thing. And so that prayer led to action. We said, okay, here's one of the ways we can support the spouse as she's caring for, you know, her husband in the hospital and they're trying to get to a better place. And when we had that idea, I'm like, is that in God's character? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. See, I wanted my prayers to lead to action. And I believe God is gonna lead us to action this week. That's what prayer does. As we try things, as we jump into things, as we maybe do things that are a little different than our normal, as we communicate with God, we talk and we say, okay, God, what's your heart on this? And we get out of our normal flow. And I think we're gonna experience God in some powerful ways over this next week, I really do. I think as we jump into our cards, our challenge cards, we're gonna experience God as we communicate with him and as we listen. And he begins to maybe reveal and nudge us and maybe take our minds certain places. In fact, I wanna begin that right now. I want to help us begin this posture of listening. So right now, even as you're sitting there, you know, one of the universal postures of being open, saying, God, I'm open. I want you to know I'm available. It's just open palms, and you can do this. You don't have to do this, but if you want to say, hey, God, you just want to be in a posture saying I'm open, just put them on your laps. I mean, nobody around you has to see. Just open your hands. And God, I'm praying right now that we would hear from you this week as we do things we normally wouldn't do. We're going to try some things that are out of our norm, some different rhythms to communicate with you, to talk to you, and then to listen, to spend some dedicated time listening, to experience you. And I just pray that those moments would lead us to action. In fact, even in these next few moments, God, as we just listen, we want to say to you, we're available to hear from you. And so right now, even in this moment, God, who do you want to bring to my mind right now? So let your mind wander. Who do you want to bring to my mind right now? Father, who in my life is hurting right now? You have to just mention them by name. You have to explain to God what's going on. Just when your mind wanders and comes to a face, Just mention them under your breath by name. God knows. And even for you personally, as you sit here right now, what's the thing that's top of mind for you? What's the thing that when you came in, it was the most important thing in that moment? Just tell God about it. Tell your Heavenly Father. Give him a sentence or two, and then just listen and allow him to maybe take your mind and begin to nudge or prompt.